Welcome to the Banned Library Podcast, the only podcast that talks about books that have been banned or censored or otherwise removed from schools and libraries and reading lists and just all kind of places, you know? Places you wouldn't think. Dark places, little places. Of course, this week we're not covering a book. Ha ha ha. It's one of those filler episodes where we talk about the news and I read you a little story. Put you off to bed. Tell you a little bit about the library and what we're doing here on here. What we're doing with your money from the Friends of the Library. Let me just go ahead and give you a shout out. If you're not a Friends of the Library member, go on over to patreon.com/bannedlibrary, and for a monthly donation, you get episodes early. You get bonus content on our other podcast, Curious Chats, where myself and my lovely lady Eliza review some movies. Oh yeah, I forgot to say who I am. My name is S.D. Harker. I'm a librarian. And I read banned books. Write books. Got a few books on the bookstore. I won't bore you with all that noise, though. So yeah, patreon.com/bannedlibrary. Get on there. Help us out. Be a friend of the library. We've also got a couple programs going on right now at the library itself. Flu shots. It's flu season, people. So, if you're feeling a little ill, or don't want to feel a little ill, come down to the library. We've got doctors that will line you up against the wall, and we'll just take you out. One at a time, as a family, whatever. Flu shots are here at the library. We will take you out of this equation. Can't get the flu if you're dead. It's a little slogan that we're going with for flu shots. That's all week long. They just come in. We promise it'll be as painless as we can help it, unless you don't want it to be. We can, give you a flu shot in the leg, then one in the, we can go gangland style, two in the head, two in the heart, whatever you want to do. But yeah, you definitely won't have the flu after that. Or maybe if grandma's getting sick. Speaking of grandma, yoga for seniors is for some reason still a thing. People love watching those old people bend. We've even installed stadium seating, so you can sit there. Well, really, there's really only the one old lady left. We're hoping on some other people to come in. Hope flu season doesn't take them all out, but, bets are on if she'll break like a twig in winter. We'll see about that. Old Miss Martha, she's hanging in there. Like I said, stadium seating is available. Talk to our concession, Yoga for Seniors. There will be an Xbox LAN party. We got a couple Xboxes, and if you've got one, bring it on down with your television. And all the librarians are just going to play Xbox, and you can watch us play Xbox. Members of the public will not be allowed to play Xboxes. We're probably going to be playing, Battlefront 2 is about to come out, so we'll probably be playing that. The new Call of Duty, World War II, or whatever. So yeah, all the librarians will be playing, and if you want to watch us play, or read a book or some shit, whatever you do at the library, come on down. But that's what we'll be doing. And like I said, if you can, bring your Xbox, because, Brenda doesn't own one, but she really likes to play, and damn if she's not good at DPFS, you know what I mean? And you can watch us on Twitch, bandlibrary.com, or username bandlibrary. Sometimes we're on there. We'll never know. There will be a homecoming dance for juniors and seniors down in the library meeting room. We hope to have all the upperclassmen back in their home dimension by the end of the night. So, there'll be a little chanting circle, and we'll be dancing in the tribal way, the way you're supposed to have the circle completed. Cross your fingers and all that those kids will come back to us, because they've been lost for many years now. I'm sure you've all seen the plaque. And of course, our ongoing, we're trying to be the Donald J. Trump Presidential Library. This is a campaign that we've started months ago, and we want to keep it going. So if you have any funds, a lot of the Friends of the Library are going to go to this. We've bought a dumpster for many of his important papers, a lot of kerosene and gasoline. We don't want to be too, sure about that, just to get that dumpster fire going really well. We have many Russian to English dictionaries. We figure we'll need a lot of those for some of the paperwork, because we don't know a lot of the Slavic languages very well. We're pretty well versed in French and some Spanish. But, yeah, we don't know the Russian. We figure a lot of his documents will be in Russian. So, yeah, the Bannon Library is going to be the Donald J. Trump Presidential Library. That's what we're campaigning for that. We want it to be. We don't, like I said, we saw the uproar over the Obama University of Chicago versus Hawaii or whatever. We don't want that to happen. We damn sure don't want it to be in New York or any multicultural environment where actual people will be able to see the things that he's done. We want to bury this man as far deep as possible, and I think the deep woods of Mississippi are the place to be. So yeah, help us out with that. Your money at work. News around the world, that's coming up. Imagine some music there if you want. And if you don't want to imagine it, and you know somebody who can do music, let us know. Send us our music. We'll do one for each segment, for the library programs, for news, for books in the now, for our story time. Anything you got. We don't really do music here. I mean, I guess I could go do-do-do-do-do-do-do. But that's about as good as I get. And I don't remember those from episode to episode. So, like I said, if you know somebody with music background and wants to put a little music on here and wants a shout out, I'll play them on here, no problem. This little episode reaches hundreds of people. So, please, come on down. So yeah, news. You may remember a couple weeks back where Biloxi Schools in Mississippi kicked out To Kill a Mockingbird. Well, it's back. They put it back in the schools. Not exactly. It's not required reading like it was. But interested students can opt in for lessons during classes or after. So basically the teacher's going to stand up in front, I guess, and be like, hey, who wants to learn about To Kill a Mockingbird? And everybody's going to be like, yeah, we don't want to hear the N-word in class. And so they're like, okay. And then there'll be like one little Nazi kid who's like, I want to hear about it. Can I stay after school? Because he's like a little nerdy Nazi. Because he just wants to hear the N-word, I guess. But then he's going to stay after class with that teacher. And they're both going to learn a little bit about each other. And that kid's going to learn a little bit about tolerance. He's going to have to read that book. Maybe he'll learn lessons and he'll turn around. And then probably some kids that think he's just into that, there's a little Nazi, they're going to beat the crap out of him, and it'll just be a American History X all over again. I don't know how that works. We'll see. But, hey, small victories. Get them where you can, right? Apparently, Sherman X. Alexi? I can never remember. Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian, a half-comic, half-novel, was withdrawn from the 10th grade curriculum at Alton High School in Alton, Illinois, after a parent requested the child have an alternate assignment. Apparently, it's part of the review process that once somebody challenges it, they kick it out altogether. So they have been returned after review, though, and the rules have changed so that optional assignments are offered instead of a total removal when there's been a challenge. Which seems like there would be that's the thing that should happen anyway. But whatever. Lindsay Whittington, media specialist at Dixie County High School, and I believe this was in Florida, said a directive from, let's see, the superintendent, Mike Thomas. There was a parent complained about students reading A Lesson Before Dying by Ernest Gaines, a book that contains some sexual references and, you know, stuff like that. The superintendent directed a ban on instructional materials that contain, quote, profanity, cursing, or inappropriate subject matter, and didn't really say much past that. So people are fighting it. He put it out on September 8th, and it mentioned advanced placement and dual enrollment courses often require, quote, questionable material that the local district does not have control over, unquote. But it doesn't say whether it will allow students to read the material in classes, but it doesn't want them taught. I don't know. It's a big thing. It's a whole thing. But we'll see how that works out. I'll try to keep an eye on that. Apparently, a couple polls went out, one from YouGov and a couple other things, on their nearly every type of potential controversial book they were asked about, nearly every type of library, older people and Republicans said they were more likely to support censorship, which public libraries did get a little more, you know, like, a little bit more leeway, but across the board, old people and Republicans were completely down with censoring and banning materials in your schools, elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, private schools, regular schools, everywhere. Even in public libraries, across the board. They were there. Your old people don't like change and don't like hearing about the sex. And this is especially down on the LGBT books, any materials like that. They do not want that taught in schools. They're completely for censorship there. So that's fun. That's nice. And not that shocking. There was a kid's senior portrait. It was rejected because he had a shotgun. So that's a thing. It was in Maine. I shared that on Twitter. All these I've shared on Twitter. If you want to go look for sources or whatever, just look through the Band Library's Twitter feed. Conejo Valley United School District Board of Trustees discussed policy amendment Tuesday that would allow parents to essentially opt into literature and materials used in high school. Basically, what they said was, hey, parents can say whether or not they want their kids to read the books that are on the thing, which are fine, as long as they don't make other kids stop reading the books. But everybody's pissed about it, so there's that. And apparently there was some big book right now, the nonfiction book called Mississippi Conflicts and Change, co-written in the mid-1970s. It was a ninth grade textbook by retired Millsaps College historian Charles Saleh and James W. Lowen, a sociologist who once taught at Tougaloo College in Jackson. The book received the prestigious awards, blah, blah, blah. Apparently, though, nobody actually wanted to put it in school, even after federal judge Orma Smith ruled that conflicts had been unfairly rejected from school literature because it painted the South as, well, kind of nasty. Yeah, so there's that. One of the most banned books in Mississippi's history was a textbook because it actually told about the actual history of Mississippi and not just this sugar-coated, oh yeah, we were states' rights and all that bullshit. Nah, I told about slavery. Now we haven't really changed all that much. Poor Mississippi. Kicked while we're down. Of course, we're the one that dug the hole, so what are you going to do? Moving on to the next. Books of the week. What books are popular? What weren't? What, who, what, where, when, why? Michael Connelly is on top with Two Kinds of Truth. I don't know what that's about. I don't mean what kinds of truth are there. There's truth and truthiness. The sort of truth that sort of exists. John Grisham has a new book called The Rooster Bar. Or maybe it's an old book that for some reason people are reading again. I don't know what The Rooster Bar is. It reminds me of Jason Sudeikis' brother, the rooster. And his motherfucking bucket. Those are my favorites. If you haven't read any of them. Is it Jason Sudeikis or David Sedaris? Not Jason Sudeikis. I completely made an ass out of myself, so go on there. Sorry about that. Origin by Dan Brown, which I'm still holding, views Charles Darwin's Origin of Species as some kind of religious cult book. You can't convince me otherwise, because I'm not going to read it. Twin Peaks, The Final Dossier by Mark Frost made it onto the list. I hadn't seen it on the list yet. Maybe did it just come out? I know the new season ended not too long ago. But yeah, good for Twin Peaks, making it up there. Everybody's getting high on Twin Peaks. And of course, Tom Hanks, that celebrated author, is now on the top five hardcover books or wherever that book list it was for Uncommon Type. And you know what? Fuck that guy. You don't get to be the nicest guy in Hollywood, a damn good actor, just all around great human being, and fucking be able to write a book and get on the top 10 list. That's some bullshit. Fuck you, Tom Hanks. You've made an enemy of the library. And of course, The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood made it on the back on the top 5 if you add the hardcover and ebook combined. My guess is because we live in a horrific dystopia that, yeah, it's just, things are just going to hell, folks. I got nothing. It's hurting every day. As a white dude, though, I guess I can't really say much. Things are stacking up in my favor. If I just toe the line, I should be okay. Except, I got friends that are being hurt, so fuck this guy. Fuck this government. Taking away people's rights, net neutrality. Shooting black people in the street. God, this is a fucking... I'm just going to a bummer here, aren't I? Thanks, Handmaid's Tale. You just drove this whole podcast down. And that's the books of this week. That's all I really got. So I guess we'll sit here real fast and we'll tell a story. Gather around. Everybody, get quiet. Are you in a quiet space? I know you're probably riding the train or driving in your car. You're probably just sitting there. Your mind's wandering a little bit. You're not even listening to me. Some of you probably just like my cadence. You just like hearing me talk. Hearing me go on and on about nothing. So I'm going to tell you a little story and let you go on and on. Keep going. See, just like you, there was this guy named Jerry. He's riding in his car. He wasn't paying much attention at all. He was alone on a long stretch of highway late at night. You know those nights. The stars are high above, but you can't see them because of the light pollution of your own headlights. But you're far enough out to where there's no street lights passing by. You're just on a lonesome highway, four lane, two going one way, two going the other. But Jerry hadn't seen a car in a long time. You know those nights, you're coming back. Maybe from swimming at a friend's house who had a pool way in the back in the backwoods. That's what Jerry was doing. His friend Dave had gathered everybody together one last time. Before they go off to college the next day, he was a senior, he did pretty well, but he's not going to college the next day. All his friends are, though. They're leaving him alone. They were swimming tonight. Dave was doing his white whale impression, if you know what that is. That basically means that he just flipped upside down and took off his swimming shorts and showed his blowhole. Made all the girls laugh and giggle. Of course, they said, "Oh, that's so silly." Dave just laughed. He enjoyed it. Jenny was there, Barbara, Alan, and all Jerry's friends, the crew. They'd all sort of dated here and there. Jerry dated both Jenny and Barbara. He liked them both. Just one of those incestuous little groups where they all know each other from way, way back. And at the end of the night, they all toasted. Said, "Hey, we're going to keep in touch. We got Facebook. We got cell phones, Twitter, all that. Snapchat. We're going to keep in touch, aren't we?" Jerry put his drink in. He'd had a couple beers by then. They were sitting outside the pool, all wrapped up in their towels, dripping water. They all put their beers in and said, "Yeah, we'll keep in touch." Jerry, his smile wasn't as big, because they were all going off to college. Jerry was staying by himself, and he's by himself now on that four-lane highway. He's going home. Home's a little shack right outside of town. It's a five-room affair. He's lived with his mama and his daddy. Well, he lived there with his daddy until he died. Offshore. Explosion. It's just him and his mama, so he's staying in town now. He's not going off to college. He had decent grades. Played baseball. Didn't do too well in it. Didn't shine at all. That's Jerry. Just good old Jerry. He'll be there forever. He's got himself a good job, though. Picked it up 2 summers ago. the gas station. One of his daddy's friends on one stop out on the highway, and he's just passing it right now. You can see it's got like, they just added two more pumps, six pumps total. Little Debbie snacks. Truckers come in. Motorists going by. It can be busy. Jerry thinks about pulling over, going in, see who's working. Maybe see if he can get an extra six pack. That's where the group had stopped earlier to get all their beer. Because, well, they know the owner, like I said, friend of Jerry's daddy's. And then in the front, the headlights hit something. It's large and it's boxy. Jerry wasn't paying attention. Maybe it was the drinks. Maybe he was thinking about who was at the one stop. Maybe he was thinking about Barbara wearing that little top she was wearing tonight. His mind was just kind of wandering all over the place, trying not to think about being alone when this thing showed up in the road. And he smacked into it. There was a sound. It sounded like breaking wood, but also glass. It sounds like you would expect a TV to sound if you were to hit it. Going 55 miles an hour. There's a scraping. There's a horrendous noise. Jerry slams on the brakes and he fishtails. By now he's far past the one stop. He can still see it in the distance in his rear view, but he's not paying attention to his rear view mirror. He's paying attention to whatever he's hit. And he slows down. He can't afford to tear his radiator. He can't afford to wreck this car. He can't afford to get a ticket. In his mind, he's just saying, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. Why didn't I just sleep on Dave's couch? He slows down the car. It's a long screech to get that car stopped. Whatever he hit, it's still in front. He can still see the sort of top of it, and it's a gray. It's a gray box-looking thing. He stops the car, and he backs up a little bit, thinking, well, maybe it's okay. Maybe there's nothing bad. When he backs up, he just sees a large metal box. Dented, of course, because it got hit by a 2011 Corolla. And he thinks, what the hell is that? Doesn't have any glass, doesn't have any wood, doesn't have anything. Just a big gray box with a giant dent in it now. So he gets out, Jerry does, and he walks around the front. Still got his headlights on, and it's still dark, and like I said, he can still see the one-stop lights way in the distance behind him. And he walks over to this gray box, and he's wondering what the hell it is. He sort of kicks it. It's just metal. He just hears a boom. He looks back, and doesn't see any glass. Looks at his car, doesn't see his problem with his car. Everything looks fine. Didn't even break a headlight. Figured that maybe that's where the glass came from. Nope. Headlights are all fine. Grill's fine. Radiator. No problem. He even looks under the car, waves his hand a little bit. When he turns his back to that gray box, he hears something. A noise. They're on the gravel now. It sounds like that box getting a little closer to him as he kneeled down to put his hand under there to see if there's any fluid leaking under his car, and he turns back and you can't be for sure, but seems like that box is a little closer. But no, he shakes his head. No, there's no way. No way Jerry thinks that box. He just hit that box going 55 miles an hour. It's not gonna move. It's crazy. He walks over to it again. He puts his hand on it. It's warm. Of course it's warm, though. It just got drugged down the highway. Slammed. Pushed down the highway, I guess. Slammed hard. It's going to have a little bit of warmth to it, a little kick. And then all of a sudden, pop. That side pops itself back out. Fills back out. Now it's a cube. Just a gray cube, and then no dent whatsoever. Doesn't look like it's ever had any kind of problem with it whatsoever. Jerry says, what the hell is going on? Then he goes to look at it a little bit more. He tries to look around it. That box, as he walks around, it turns with him. You believe that? Did you know a box could turn by itself? Jerry did. Not until tonight. For some reason, it doesn't want to show its backside to him. The second he turns, he just jumps back. Like, what the hell? And he starts backing away from it. And box starts sliding across the gravel towards him. He moves faster, and the box moves faster, and he gets back on the pavement, and the box gets on the pavement, and it's coming for him. And he goes to reach open his door, and the box slams into the door and keeps it shut and slams into Jerry and knocks him down. And the last thing Jerry sees is this metal box slamming on his foot. He hears the breaking sounds of glass, if you'll believe it, and wood. And he screams in the night as the box slams down on his leg again. And he kicks out at it, but he misses. And it somehow slams down on that leg too. And he keeps slamming on his legs until he's broken. And screaming in pain, and that sound of breaking wood and glass just keeps going until Jerry stops screaming. They found his car, parked, lights were off by then, battery drained. Next day, Barbara was driving back into town. She passed by and thought, wasn't that Jerry's car? She stopped, and he wasn't nowhere to be found. Nobody knows what happened to Jerry, except me and you. To be careful. Driving on 4-lane blacktop in the middle of the night. Don't let your mind wander like you are right now listening to this story. Because there might be something coming up in front of you. The end. Remember, please, if you don't mind, donate to us on Patreon. You can donate whatever you want. You still get the same stuff. You get the books that we're selling in the library bookstore, or you can buy those books, whatever you want to do. We just put up a new one called Ricky's New Boots. It's about a punk kid who decides to get some new boots after a really bad night. Or you can go on buy that from Amazon. Just go to harkerbooks.com. My name's SD Harker, so harkerbooks.com. Band Library Books/Band Library, or as part of the Patreon, I put up an audio version and a regular version on all of the sites. So there you go. We did have one comment this past 2 weeks, because last week was Paid in Place. On Band 56, the TTYL by Lauren Miracle, someone named Cameo Bellili, not sure how you say the last name, who said, quote, I think it was stupid to even ban this book anyway. It's still a good book, and the kids could learn from the mistakes made by the book by the girls, unquote. I just want to thank her for her comment. If you want to comment on the website, maybe you'll get on here. Who knows? But until then, thank you for listening. Stay in. Read a book.
Music, Dances and Dames by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0.